Hey everybody, welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I am your co-host Chris, and as always I am joined by my brother and co-host Rob. What's up, Rob?
Not much. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm excited to talk about some zombies today.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about the brand new Army of the Dead. It came out, I think, a week ago on Netflix, directed by Zack Snyder. So we're going back to dipping our toes in the Snyder well from our last episodes. Our last double episode was talking about Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. So we'll see how we feel about him today. And we're bringing back Zack Snyder's best friend on this podcast, and that's Jason. Hi, Jay.
You guys are having trouble getting guests these days, aren't you? You're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse has taken up all our good guests.
Mo just becomes more and more apathetic about everything by the day, so she can rarely get wrangled into one of these.
Oh, man. Yeah, and this doesn't seem like Mo's kind of movie. Did Mo watch this with you, Rob?
She didn't. I considered showing it to her. I feel like this is one she would be entertained by and then later on would tell everybody that she hated.
Okay.
But she actually liked. But I did not. I decided not to watch this one with her. I do feel like maybe this one would be a tough one for her to get through. Not the violence so much. I think it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
that she would have been rolling her eyes.
I tried to get Jeannie in on it and it was a no-go. She made it about 5 minutes and she enjoyed like kind of the opening scene. But by the time it hit those opening credits, that did her in. That was too out there for her. But we'll talk about those because those were fantastic. So
she really likes in movies when people get roadhead.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to tell you, she did not exactly understand what was going on there.
Okay.
And it was real funny trying to explain to her the situation.
Oh, Lord.
Real funny. Jay, are you a zombie movie fan?
Overall, I'm not. In general, I will say I did enjoy the Zombieland movies.
That's right.
Very much so. And I thought that this would be kind of in that sort of vein. And so that's why I was kind of excited for it. Mm-hmm. Other than my, as you guys know, my love for Vegas.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, I typically do like what Zack Snyder does with his movies, but this one, I'm a little more critical of this one, probably a little bit more than you guys are. I think I'll surprise you a little bit, but I am a fan of the Zombieland movies, so I went into it kind of thinking it was going to be something like that a little bit, maybe a little bit more hardcore. But
it almost felt like it was going to be, and then by 10 minutes in, it took a hard turn back into regular zombie movie territory. But now, Rob, you've watched a lot of zombie movies.
Yes.
A lot of the classic George Romero. I know we talked about, which was the one we talked about on here?
You and I did Day of the Dead.
Okay.
Which is not my favorite of his, but it has some pretty great moments, especially towards the end.
But I
like zombie movies. I like that within horror there's a lot of different genres, and within zombie movies there's a lot of different genres.
Right.
You mentioned Zombieland, Jason, and that's more of a straight up action horror comedy.
The other one I watched that you guys probably have seen and that I enjoyed was the Simon Pegg one with Shaun of the Dead.
That's a great one.
Really good.
That's I like it when there's a little bit more dark, you know, like humor involved, and it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah. Now, Rob, have you seen Zombieland?
I saw the first Zombieland. Okay. I actually don't love Zombieland. I for whatever reason, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it as much as most people. Mm-hmm. So I may have to go back and revisit it. I only watched it once, and I feel like maybe I just wasn't as...
Yeah, I think they're super fun. Even the second one, which isn't as great, there are some moments in it that make me howl with laughter. It's
really...
Yeah, there's some pretty great stuff in it.
But yeah, I like that there's all sorts of different stuff. There's fast moving zombies, there's kind of slow lumbering zombies. And I like that this one, I think, has a very different take on zombies.
Yeah.
And we'll get into sort of the main quote unquote alpha zombies, which I thought was kind of a cool concept. But yeah, I dig most zombie movies, and yeah,
which they had already done in Zombieland too, but it was a similar type of thing. But
yeah, it was like, I like that idea of sort of the thinking zombie, or not just the mindless zombie, but yeah, it was interesting. Now, Zack Snyder had done a remake of Dawn of the Dead back in 2004. I tried to watch it, but I couldn't find it this weekend. Rob, you've seen it, I know.
It is. I have. It's his first feature movie. And that movie and this movie are my two favorite Zack Snyder movies.
Okay.
Like, far and away. This, I was very surprised at how much I liked this movie. Seeing the preview for it, and this was, I think I saw the preview maybe after I watched his Justice League.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like a completely different filmmaker.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of nitpicks with this movie, a lot of problems. But as I was watching it, I really enjoyed myself. There's a lot of just fun, crazy nonsense in this.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about it generally?
I really enjoyed it. Again, the more I think about all the nitpicky stuff, it drives me crazy. And in general, I enjoyed watching it, but it did leave me feeling a little hollow.
Okay.
Which is not unusual for zombie movies, because I haven't seen a ton of them, but I always want to care about the characters and get sort of wrapped up in their story. And I know that the characters are just there to be eaten by zombies. So it's hard to really get attached to them. But I thought with what was going on here that there might be more of that. And I don't know if it's as much that I didn't care what happened to the characters, or just that some of the scenes didn't land the way that I thought they could have with more of emotional heft. But again, we'll talk about some of that as we get into it. But overall, it was very fun to watch.
Yeah.
I very much could turn my brain off and not be as judgy as I feel like I usually am with his movies. So
it felt like he was having fun. And I feel like the last, I don't know, four or five movies he's made have been so dour and this felt a lot more fun.
Now, Jay, you did not care for it in general?
I liked the concept of it. I went into it, and there were certain aspects of it I liked. I thought they had a big problem with executing sort of the vision. One example was, like, I went into it thinking, oh, this is a neat concept where they're going to be in Las Vegas and they're really going to play up the working their way through Las Vegas. And it wasn't. It was kind of a post-apocalyptic Vegas landscape that they really glossed over. I mean, I know they tried to make it kind of look cool, and you could see the Luxor and you could see, you know, the different, hotels and stuff, but really they had a couple generic hotels that they worked within.
Right.
And they didn't really execute that. And as far as what Rob was talking about with the alpha zombies, I thought that was a really cool concept. In that initial scene with the convoy, and you first see that alpha zombie and the way he moves and the way he attacks those troops, I thought it was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I like the look of him. I liked his movement. I liked the camera work. I liked everything. And then it was very inconsistent throughout the movie. There was some goofy. Sometimes the alpha zombies seemed like really cool and moved like hyper, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word is, cool. But then there were scenes where it was like really goofy and stupid looking. Like they didn't come across as moving as fluid and fast. And then there was like some that were just really stupid looking. Like in that scene where they give the sacrifice. And the queen zombie, like one zombie drags the guy away and then she follows after, and the way she's following and kind of running, like a duck run almost, she's like waddling away almost or something. And I was like, this is really, really stupid. Because she's like going off into like a wide open space and just like running through the street. It just looked really goofy. I know a lot of her movements were like that. So I will say too, it's funny because I had been on the Zack Snyder cut for the Justice League, and you guys were really pounding it for being way too long, way too long. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I enjoyed it. Or I had some nitpicks here and there. This movie was way too long.
It was.
It was unnecessarily long. This movie should have been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And so, it clocks in at about
2.5 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. It did feel really long.
It was stupid long and totally unnecessary. And the only other thing that pulled me out of the movie, and I don't know how much I can fault them for this, but it is what it is, was the Tig Notaro stuff. Because they had pulled Chris, however you pronounce his name, I can't even remember. I always do it wrong. Chris Diella. I know who he is, but he was a comedian that they has run into, which we pointed out last week with his issues. He's run into some disturbing allegations against him, so they had to pull him from the movie, and they just digitally sort of inserted Tig Notaro into it. And have you guys ever seen the Kevin who's King of Queens, what's his name?
Kevin James.
Have you ever seen his YouTube videos where he's the sound guy and he inserts himself into like famous movie scenes? He does a really good job and they're great. You should go watch them. But it looks good, but you can tell he's inserted himself into a movie.
Yeah.
That's what this looked like. Every scene she was in, like all the other characters, they would like sort of do this weird blurring of them and it'd be dark. And then even when she was like talking to them, it pulled me out of the movie because I knew she was.
Yeah,
they did the best they could, but it just didn't work.
Right. I wonder if I wouldn't have focused on as much if I didn't know that's what they'd done. I mean, it's a pretty amazing feat that they did it.
But.
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job with it for what they could do. But I'm with you. Every time I saw her, and I think my problem was more with her performance, and she was fine, but I kind of felt like she didn't deliver her lines as well, or it seemed a little unusual. I don't know if it was.
And I think it has to do with the fact that for most of her scenes, she wasn't with her fellow actors.
And that's the thing. And I don't know if I was focusing more on that because I knew it, but that's a good point.
It was interesting. Yeah. Cause it wasn't like a Kevin Spacey, Christopher Plummer type deal where they kind of just reshot all his scenes. They kind of just inserted her in after the fact.
Right.
And so I just don't know that it worked all that well. And I had a little bit of issue with her character in general, but I don't know if that's her fault or just that's a function of the way they did it, you know.
Well, let's talk. We're going to get into spoilers here. So if you have not seen the movie and you enjoy zombie movies and crazy shit, it's worth taking a gander at. But from here on out, we will be spoiling a lot more of the movie. So I'm with Jason about the Vegas landscape. I was really expecting more of like seeing them in the kind of landmarks of Vegas. There was a little bit of that where you saw the zombie standing on top of the Statue of Liberty at the New York, or in that opening scene, you see they pull down the Eiffel Tower from in front of the Paris. But it was bizarre to me that they used two basically generic fake casinos. And my only thought on that was, I wonder if it was going to cost them too much money to get the rights to actually use an actual, because not the film in the casino, but even just to use the name, or if the casino owners there said, we don't want to be attached to this because we don't want people equating, oh, a zombie outbreak to staying at the Bellagio. I kind of feel it's maybe more that second one than even the first, but
I think you're probably right. And I maybe didn't notice it as much. Like, I didn't pick up on the fact that they didn't use as much as they could have until you guys mentioned it. But yeah, that would have been more interesting, but I bet it was just a function of the budget.
Yeah.
Even if they did it generically, and I apologize, but even if they had done it generically and had them move their, even like I said, generically move their way through the city, kind of, it might have been more interesting and played up some of the, I don't know, some of the gambling stuff, some of the stuff that you would find in Vegas.
Right.
But they had a little bit of that, but it just, I don't know. They just went from point A to point. Let me put it this way. For as long as this movie was, them getting from point A to point B was so freaking easy that it kind of boggled the mind a little bit.
Did you guys notice? I'm just thinking of moving from point A to point B, but towards the end, they get in the helicopter and fly from one casino to another.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alpha zombie is somehow able to make it down to the base of the casino, onto his horse, ride across the city to the other casino in the same amount of time.
Yeah, and up to the roof of the second casino.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
insane. That was ridiculous.
There's a lot of stuff like that that, again, you can pick it apart, but the, like, for example, the Japanese man who owns the casino sends them in with this convoluted plan to retrieve this money, even though he's got another alternative thing going on that makes no sense. But he gives them they bring a key card to get through the two barred doors to get to the vault. But then they need a safe cracker, as though the casino owner have the code to get into the safe. What the hell was that about?
That was my one question. Like, what the hell is going on here? This is the owner of the casino. Why is it so hard to get into his own safe?
Right.
It would have made a lot more sense had he known. Don't even make it a casino owner. Just have it be some rich dude who knows that there's a bunch
of that would have been much better.
I thought that was an odd choice, because I liked the safecracker character. I like that aspect of it. I like when they're trying to get the zombies down the hallway to set off all the traps.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's silly, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. So I like that aspect of it. But yeah, that very simple changes could have made that a lot
more. Yeah, I don't think it was a choice as much as it was just a complete oversight. Because that's a glaring mistake.
Well, now, I believe Zack Snyder himself wrote the script for this, too. So at this point, there's nobody to blame but himself. And it sort of reinforces that idea of Zack Snyder as a guy who knows what looks fun and interesting and has no real concept on how to tell a coherent story. And not that he has no concept. I mean, he can pull it off in ways, but he just gets distracted by shiny baubles and you know, wants to do something interesting. But I was really hoping that this would have, again, more of an Ocean's 11 feel, like have something clever about how they get in and how they have to retrieve the stuff. They get there and they just go down to the vault, and basically they're just walking through hordes of zombies, but there's no real obstacle outside of that scene where they're getting the zombie to walk down the hallway to set off the booby traps.
Yeah. I was expecting more of an Ocean's 11 component to this. I didn't get that, but we talked last week too about you know, the problems with making movies via committee and that kind of thing. And I think this is the other side of that coin, where it's like, how did this make it through the process?
Right.
And they let something so little, but so obvious, get through, and so easy to fix, get through the,
right,
the thing, because they spent so much time with this frickin', I don't know if it's so much time, it's, but they spend a good portion of time on this damn vault, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So, well, it pulls you out of the movie.
And then you layer in on top of that the fact that the I think his name was Martin in the movie, was the man's head of security who insists on going with them. And you find out about halfway through that he has this complete other objective, in which he's taking the head of the queen zombie back for research or building biological weapons. And that was their his actual goal, was to retrieve that head. But why not just hire a group of people to go in and kill some zombies and take their heads and bring them back? Why did they have to trick these other people into going in to steal the money?
Well, even to that point, okay, think of it this way. Think of what his objective is. Mm-hmm. They literally, the second they get into, you know, the zombie Vegas land, who's the first zombie they run into besides the tiger?
Right,
it's the freaking queen. Uh-huh. They've got all their people there. They could have done the same thing right there if they'd all been on the plan and just taken, wrapped the zombie up, taken her head, and walked right back through the secret passageway.
Well, and even when he gets the head, then he just continues on with the rest of the mission with them. Why not just get the hell out of there?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense, but
he was going to steal the helicopter and take the helicopter. I didn't understand it. He was waiting for the helicopter to get fixed. But that begs another question, and maybe you guys have an answer to this. I couldn't figure out from the beginning montage or something what was going on, but why, several years had gone by, why had Vegas not been nuked, like, immediately?
Was there, because I had that same question, and I was wondering what the timeline was, because I couldn't remember how long it had been, because it brings up something else about the evolution of the zombies, which we can get to.
I think,
what was the timeline?
Batista goes and starts working at a diner. Quite a bit of time had passed.
Yeah.
I heard something that made me think that from the time of the opening credits, basically, to when he was in the diner, it had been a couple of years.
Okay.
At least a couple of years, I think.
I wonder if the government was working on, like, how could we possibly come up with a cure to sort of help these people, and then maybe gave it up. And again, that's not from the movie. That's just me speculating.
Well, and I didn't understand why they had this outside
the refugee
area
center
too.
Yeah.
Like quarantined to make sure they weren't going to turn into zombies, but again, if years have passed, you would have thought, all right, these people have been here for 2 years, I think they're okay.
Still getting people randomly out of there. Well, I mean, that again, it makes no sense, but it was only, I mean, that was all to get his daughter involved, Dave Bautista's daughter. And again, had they wrote it more cleverly, the idea of why did they fly to these people and tell them they were going to steal the money, it could have been that she was their way in and they needed Dave Bautista to get them in, which is kind of what happened. He brought them there and met with her as sort of their in to get into Vegas, which you weren't supposed to be going in. So again, that could have been what they were going for, but
here's the problem, though, is
too much credit.
They said the head was 10 times more than what was in the vault.
Uh-huh.
They could have literally offered them the same amount of money, if
not
more, to just go in. We're going to snag the queen's head off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there might have been moral objections to that part of it. So I think that's the problem. But still, these people didn't seem like they cared that much.
Well, yeah, I mean, the that's the other thing. It's hard to care for these characters because the very first thing they do when they go in is sacrifice that security guy to the zombies. And nobody objects. Like, not
even. Well, he was a sexual predator.
He was. And they set it up that he deserved it and that he was a gross guy. But even at that, you would have thought one of them would have said, is this okay? But they were just like, oh, they got him tied up. I guess this is what we're doing.
So they could have just been in, like, you know, we're going to pay you a crap load of money and we're going to go in. The queen is going to be there immediately. The blonde would have known that. Mm-hmm. As she did, and we're gonna tie her up and take her head and then get the hell out of here, and then they're gonna nuke the place. So I don't know what
this I kind of gave myself over to this movie, admittedly.
You kind of have to,
because everything you guys are saying is correct. And there's so many,
well, I mean, some of it's more objectionable than other stuff, but
But I feel like there was so many, it was kind of everything in the kitchen sink, where there's hibernating zombies. There's just like singular scenes that I was like, I really like this. When the alpha zombie cuts out a zombie fetus from a headless zombie corpse, I was like, I like this. It doesn't lead to anything. He's angry that his zombie wife and baby are gone, but just the effects and like you said, I think Zack Snyder has a flair for pretty cool visuals and maybe not so much the story, but there was just a lot that I liked. And if only for the moment that Martin gets attacked by the tiger, I was so happy.
That was pretty great.
That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Again, even with the tiger.
Ziggy. Ziggy, there's a tiger on me.
I love the idea of the tiger because it was so different and so bizarre.
Yeah.
But I also wish that there was something else to that, because he could have just been attacked by a regular tiger. You know what I mean? Like, what, I understand it's zombies and it was an interesting visual, but was there something more to why the tiger had to be a zombie and why that was interesting in the movie? You know what I mean? Like, you could have had that same scene of a man in a different movie being attacked by a tiger. It could have played out exactly the same way, and it wouldn't have changed anything. So again, that's fine. It's just, it was an interesting visual. I just didn't understand, why did it have to be a zombie tiger? Was there something, you know, when there are zombies in a movie, zombie people, they're moving slow and they're trying to eat brains and they have their sort of zombie things. But this was just a tiger with half his face ripped off. So
yeah,
I think, you know what I mean?
Or just the visual. And if you're watching a zombie movie and a tiger attacks a person, wouldn't you rather it be a zombie tiger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm down. I enjoyed the zombie tiger maybe more than anything else in the
movie. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is kind of what Chris is getting at a little bit, too, is whatever came of that tiger?
Oh, yeah, we never saw it again.
Like if it had paid off where they had that scene, for example, and then somebody actually had to stop that tiger somehow,
right,
or the tiger got out, it showed it later or something like that. There was nothing. You never saw the tiger again.
You saw it at the start and then you saw it attack him. I wish it was stalking them through the whole movie. Like, I wish
it could have been a surprise or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was no payoff. I don't think that. There were some really cool. Oh, go ahead.
And that's a good point that you're getting to. And Rob and I had an odd conversation earlier today, because I saw this movie called Unhinged. We watched it yesterday. I think it came out maybe one of the last movies in theaters before they shut everything down last year. But it has Russell Crowe, and it was basically a thriller about road rage, where he was a psycho chasing a woman that had cut him off on the road. And it's just a silly, stupid little thriller. But it I was telling Rob, it pays things off so well. There are all these little tiny things that are set up very subtly, and they all get paid off throughout the movie. And I think this movie, when we're looking at Army of the Dead, it was one of the things that struck me that they set things up that did not get paid off very well. One of them was the guy, I forget his name, but he was sort of the second or third in charge, the guy with the big giant saw that he carried around. And you see him fighting zombies with it in that opening scene, but then he never really, he uses it to cut some doors and things later on, but he never fights zombies with it again. And when they first come in, they see all the dried up corpses of the zombies, and somebody says, oh, when it rains, these things sort of reanimate and start walking around. I was like, this is going to be amazing. A pipe's going to burst, they're going to get covered with water, and they're going to be suddenly in a swarm of zombies. But it's never mentioned again. Nobody ever says anything. Nothing happens with it. And I was like, it was just all these setups and no payoff.
I assumed that was a joke because I can't imagine it rains too much in Vegas. I don't know if it the joke was like Vegas August. So joke? Yeah. No, I didn't know if it was like a Vegas is so dry.
Oh.
I didn't. But I think you're probably right.
Maybe I took
those were all good points. Are you sure that wasn't that was a Russell Crowe movie you were talking about, and that wasn't just him in the news angry at somebody?
I said this exact thing to Jeannie as we were watching it. I said, this is just, I think they just followed Russell Crowe around one day, filmed him.
Does he attack the person with a phone?
Yeah, she was asking like what he had done wrong, and that's what I said. I said, I think he threw a phone at somebody, and not like an iPhone. I think it was like an old rotary phone. Yeah.
There were some really good visuals to get to the point that Rob was talking about, like in that opening montage and even the opening convoy scene.
Uh-huh.
Opening convoy scene, obviously you see a guy get blown up while getting blown.
Yeah.
And then there was one scene in the montage that really stuck out at me, and that's when all of a sudden somebody behind a 50 caliber machine gun just literally what's the word I've tried to come up with? He just vaporizes a zombie with a 50 caliber.
That was my favorite kill.
It was awesome.
Because you just see him like coming apart a piece at a time. It was great.
It was shot really well.
In the opening credits?
The opening credits. Yeah. It's the lady who's the nun from Nacho Libre.
Okay. We got to talk about her.
Can't you see this woman is a nun? yeah, her character and the way she died was shocking.
That was a good visual, too. I liked that. I thought that was a great visual. Despite the problems with the tiger, I liked when the guy got his head crushed by the jaws of the tiger. That was pretty cool. Are they not? Oh, go ahead.
The nun.
Yes.
From Nacho Libre. Did I miss something where they didn't set something up and then something was paid off where she was like, I came here because I was in love with you?
No, that
it was ridiculous.
I was quite surprised.
Yeah, that was insane.
About?
And then didn't she die chemistry there was, after that?
That's kind of what why I thought they did it is they were like, oh, we can, this will be a bigger emotional punch if.
Right. That's exactly what they did.
But they gave no indication earlier in the movie of that being a thing.
And speaking of Dave Bautista's love life, here's something else that threw me off that I thought could have either maybe been rolled into one idea, or maybe I was just misreading it. But during those opening credits, they do a lot of showing him and his team rescuing people from Vegas and fighting the zombies. And there's a woman they keep showing, I believe a blonde woman who she finds a child. I wasn't sure if it was her own kid or somebody else's kid, but she's trying to get out. And they show her extensively during that opening sequence. And right towards the end, she's trying to get out, and she and the kid get overwhelmed by the zombie horde, and they drop the shipping container on top of them to kind of close the city off. And then she's never mentioned again. And I kept thinking, like, then we had this scene later where you find out that his wife turned and he had to stab her through the head, and that's why the daughter hates him. And you, I thought they could have made that one character. It could have been that his issue was that this was his wife fighting alongside him and she died, and that could have been his anger at the zombies and the motivation. But it was just sort of odd that they had.
I had the same thought. To answer your question, it was the girl's daughter, because at one point in that montage, she picks up a piece of clothing that she thinks belongs to that girl.
Okay.
And you can kind of see a sadness on her face.
Oh,
And then later she finds the girl and she's wearing the same thing and they're kind of reunited. And then, but I had the same thought. I'm like, oh, this somehow is connected to David Batista and that's his family or something. And, it means something, but no, they just get crushed. And then he's got a totally different story with.
And instead his family is the worst character in the whole movie. And that is his daughter, who sucked like supremely. She gets so many people killed and is completely useless, a dumb piece of shit.
She didn't bug me that much.
I liked at the beginning when she's talking with the Gita girl, and I can't remember whose line it was, but there's just this random knock against Barstow where they talk about how, you know, if we don't do this, we're going to be trapped in Barstow forever. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I know some people with family in Barstow. It's not the greatest place on earth, I don't think. But they made it seem like it was hell on earth.
That's really funny. Barstow, so her whole forever. Thing is that Gita, that woman Gita, she basically goes in there to try and take money to help her children escape this refugee camp that exists for some reason. And so that's the daughter, didn't want her to go in, and then she goes in anyway. So the daughter joins the team to go try to find her, even though they all tell her not to do that. And so she runs off in the middle of all of this and finds Gita, but she had no plan to get out. Nobody even knew that she was gone. She didn't say, okay, I'm going to do this and I'll rendezvous with you guys at this point. She just took off and they were all surprised. So then they all have to go try and find her, and that fucks everything up and gets a bunch of people killed, including Gita, who the whole thing, it's like she drove like the whole plot of the second half of the movie. And that helicopter crash at the end, you don't even see Gita. You don't know. I mean, I assume that she died, but... They completely forgot about that. Gets everybody. I don't know. That daughter character was the worst. So.
Okay, I think it's in the scene where she gets Gita in the casino towards the end. Mm-hmm. One of the setups that I was very sad didn't pay off is evil Adam Sandler, who. It's the guy that they
the
give
security guard guy.
Yeah, that they give to the queen, who they mentioned is a rapist. Like, he's built up so much in the first quarter of the movie as being this evil shithead, and then he gets turned to a zombie, and I was like, oh, there's going to be a great fight with him, and like when they kill him, it's going to be awesome. I don't even remember how he dies. I think David shows up and shoots him or something.
No, the daughter shoots him. And the daughter shoots him, but like immediately, like he shows up and boom, he's dead. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is the most disappointing thing. I thought it was going to be this big set, you know, or they did a big setup for it and it just didn't pay off at all.
I was bummed about that.
And they could have spent more time on paying that off and like maybe like 5 minutes less of David Batista talking about food trucks.
What did he say? I'm trying to remember.
He was talking about artisan grilled cheese at one point, and then he wanted lobster rolls, and I don't know. It just went on and on. That scene with him and his daughter where they finally have their heart-to-heart in the middle of the movie when they're about to turn the generator on, that took way too long. Seemed not a good time to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Same thing when they're on the roof, you know, it's like that Bob scene from Stranger Things, spoiler alert, but it's like they finally get out, the helicopter's there, they're ready to go, and everyone has to smile at each other and like have stupid cliches, and it's like, no, keep fucking running.
Right.
Besides the fact that there's zombies on your trail, a nuclear bomb is being dropped within minutes, and
that's
banter.
That scene when they run out on the roof and the helicopter's not there. Okay, the helicopter's disappeared and they expected it to be there. It is identical to the scene from Aliens,
yeah,
where Ripley comes out and Bishop is taken off and she thinks he's abandoned her, and then he comes back and he says, oh, the platform was unstable and so he wasn't going anywhere. But when Ripley comes out, she's screaming, she's cursing Bishop and all hell's breaking loose. When they come out in this movie onto the rooftop and the helicopter's not there, they just kind of look around. And there's no sense of urgency to anything. They don't even seem all that pissed. They're a little defeated, but they're not just like that goddamn Tig Notaro.
Yeah. I could at least chalk that up to being shock or something.
Right.
But once once the helicopter's there, it's like, okay, let's fucking move now. Let's
I don't know if you guys have ever been around an active helicopter, but they give you ear protection because that shit will ruin your hearing because it's so goddamn loud. And they come out on that rooftop and there's nothing. It's dead silent. And then they kind of hear what sounds like maybe a helicopter in the distance. And 2 seconds later, the helicopter comes up from the side of the building as though it's been hovering just below the lip of the building. Like, you would have heard that helicopter where it was. That was so stupid.
Reminds me of Deadpool 2, where he's like, I couldn't hold a straight face, you know. I heard it coming.
Go ahead.
Like when they're on the roof and the coyote, I forget her real name, but she's fighting with the alpha, trying to give him a little bit more time to get out of there.
Uh-huh.
And she has the queen's head. I do like when she drops the head and it smacks against
that
the
was ground. Really great.
There's some good gooey effects.
Yeah. I think,
in this movie of Zahn, and even when he's running through Dave Bautista's running through the casino, kind of jumping on all the tables and shooting up zombies. I thought there was some cool action and some cool effects at the very least.
Let's talk real quick. The music in this movie, and I've heard this as a complaint of Zack Snyder, and I absolutely agree with it, that his music selections are always so incredibly on the nose that it kind of drives me nuts. Like playing Bad Moon Rising, where they're like, you know, I see trouble on the way, when they're just about to go into trouble. I'm like, yeah, okay.
The problem is when he's taking it too seriously. Mm-hmm. And trying to make it so emotional or something, you know, and it's too spot on, it comes across as campy and or corny. I think when he does it in a humorous way, it kind of works and it's kind of funny, like the elevator scene and like, do you really want to hurt me, when the Culture Club was playing and things like that. I think like things like that, it's funny. But when like when you said Bad Mood Rising and they're trying to be all serious about it, that's when it's like.
And then
some dramatic music.
Well, and then they play the Cranberry song, Zombies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know if you guys know about that song, but that song was about two kids that got killed in a bombing with an attack by the IRA.
Yeah.
And so, but Zack Snyder's like, ah, fuck it. It says zombies in it. Let's put it in our zombie movie.
I had that thought where I was like, this doesn't seem appropriate given the actual context of that song.
And then I had one other, this is kind of a long rambling discussion about that opening credit scene. I loved it. It was fantastic. Just unbelievably great. Mm-hmm. But I love the Viva Las Vegas in that. But here's, okay, so this is very odd, but it was, I know they played a bunch of other Elvis songs in the movie, so maybe they didn't want to get like an Elvis impersonator to sing it, even though it made more sense because it was Vegas and Elvis. So they got a Liberace impersonator to sing the song. The guy who's playing the Liberace impersonator is a comedian who goes by the name Richard Cheese. And he is a guy who basically this character that he plays, Richard Cheese, is like a cheesy lounge singer. And he does covers of famous songs in the mold of lounge songs. So I kind of felt like this was the incredible Inception moment in this movie, where you had a comedian playing a lounge singer who was pretending to be a famous person impersonator who was pretending to be Liberace singing an Elvis song. And just like layers of that really messed me up.
I do like Richard Cheese.
And I found out that there's a moment in Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead where Richard Cheese sings Down with the Sickness.
I remember him being involved somehow.
I found the scene. It's a scene where it shows all the survivors sort of going about their life. And there's like Ving Rhames is playing chess with another guy by writing things on a board and showing it to him from a great distance across these two building tops. And it's all through there, and it's a Richard Cheese song. And so I don't know what Zack Snyder's relationship is with this bizarre comedian playing a lounge singer, but super weird.
That is bizarre.
As much as I like the look of the alpha zombie, Zeus, I think his name was, or whatever, at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
I couldn't help but think he looked like Tommy Wiseau. for the rest of the movie.
That
kind of pulled me out of it.
That's now amazing. Now I can't die before I see Tommy Wiseau play a zombie.
Oh,
I
think you it. Did. what did you guys think of the humor in this movie? The comic relief kind of stuff. There were a couple of good lines. The two lines I have written down was "Watch your fingers, Mr. Big Hand," and. And the easy peasy conversation.
That was really funny.
Was pretty funny. I kind of laughed out loud at both of those.
I did like that one especially. Yeah, the safecracker guy was funny. Yeah.
I think they're doing a prequel, and I think it's going to center around that character. I know they got sequels and prequels and an animation series and all sorts of stuff they're planning. But I know one of the prequels, I think, involves the safecracker, a prequel. Okay.
I read that too, and I was surprised because I was like, so are zombies going to be involved? Because he seemed to be sort of a newbie with fighting zombies. So
yeah, I didn't understand that either.
But yeah, I did like him. I thought he was kind of a fun character. It felt like, you know how in Michael Bay movies he tries to go for humor?
Yeah.
It felt a little like that, but better.
Yeah.
Because there were a few moments that landed, but overall it wasn't hilarious by any means. But
I thought it needed more of that. There was the scene in the safe where he gets mad at David Bautista for being too loud, which was kind of funny. And he gives a kind of, well, it goes on for a while and it's kind of funny, but I don't know. I like I said, I went into this movie anticipating a bit more of that, a bit more of the Zombieland humor. Obviously, that's not what it was. And the things I did like were the visuals, certain scenes, certain deaths, certain action sequences. Story-wise, I thought, again, I'm not looking for much in a zombie movie for the story, but there's just two. Some of the plot holes were so glaringly big that they should have taken time to fix those and not wasted time with some other stupid stuff. So that was my overall.
I've crapped on Zack Snyder movies because there's so much about the visuals and the action as opposed to the characters and like you guys have talked about a coherent story. And so I don't know if it's because I like zombie movies or I just liked the changeup that he had in his career to make this big, crazy, zany zombie movie. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed this so much more than so many of his movies. We've picked this thing apart, all of it, totally understandable. Mm-hmm. And yet if a sequel came out, which they obviously set it up for one, and like Jason said, there's all these other projects going on, I will 100% watch him.
Yeah. I kind of see this the same way I see a Judd Apatow movie in general. Judd Apatow's movies, again, it's like three quarters of a good movie, and but it just goes on for way too long. Yeah. It's always 45 minutes to an hour too long, and there's just a lot of wasted opportunity, it seems. Yeah. Like.
Before we wrap up on this, there are two real weird aspects that we can just talk about real quick. The first one is robot zombies. Did you guys see this or have you read about it?
You seem to know. Yeah, well, I noticed it's the first time I kind of scratched my head is when they're on the casino floor and Dave Bautista shoots, or someone in his group shoots a zombie and it falls back and it kind of has some like blue shit on its face.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what the hell is that? And then as I read about
the flesh, the movie, almost looks like it's peeled off and it almost has like a Terminator skull underneath.
Yeah.
It.
Like a
but,
little,
but yeah, I'm sure, like it could have been just like weird lighting or something, but
yeah, when I looked it up online, he talks about robot zombies and doesn't give a whole lot more information. And there's theories that maybe the government has put these robot zombies in there to walk amongst the undead to keep tabs on them. I don't know, but. I don't know if Zack Snyder knows, other than what if we had a robot zombie in here and we talk about it in future installments.
Even a scene where one of them you can clearly see it's coming down a dark hall at him and it's got like glowing blue eyes.
Okay.
And I think he has said that they toyed with the idea of having zombies that have evolved into something else, which also raised the question to me, what is the timeline of this movie? How long have we gone? Has this been millions of years that zombie robots have now developed? But it's just bonkers that they were just like, well, let's throw that in and see if anybody notices. Because clearly they did, and then what do you do? But
it made no sense. It's kind of like Lost, where you like in the first season or two, they had so many things. They were like, okay, what if there's a polar bear on the island?
Right.
What if there's a smoke monster? And then they kind of went, okay, what do we do with all this random shit? Right. Like,
and the other real random thing is there's that long discussion where they find that another team has gone in to try to break into the vault and has died in the process. But they seem to be wearing the same clothes that the main characters are here. There's one of them that seems to be wearing something very similar to what Dave Bautista has. And then there's the Nacho Libre nun, and she's got this necklace with a key on it. And you see the dead body that has the exact same necklace on. And then they get into this whole philosophical discussion down by the vault about, is this from another timeline? Is this a time loop?
He's stuck in a time loop, yeah.
Right, and then there's apparently other mentions of that sprinkled throughout the movie, as though maybe this is a thing. Which, again, they spent a lot more time on it than they should have. If they were making a crack about it, it would have been one joke and then on, like maybe the dried up zombies, if that was a joke. But I just was, I was baffled by all this. That
because in the moment when he was given his little time loop speech, I sort of just chalked it up to it being sort of a philosophical metaphor type thing, and I didn't take it seriously,
right?
Or literally, but
again,
I've heard rumblings. Yeah,
Yeah, look it up, because they have some other people. And again, you can read a lot into something if you're looking for it. But apparently people have found some other pretty concrete mentions of it throughout the movie.
Just to finish up, what do you guys think of, while we're on that character who was discussing the time loop thing, what do you think of his... his Indiana Jones moment, and then how they sort of paid that off.
Right.
So which character is talking about the time loop? Are we talking about the guy at the end?
Yeah, the guy who got shoved in the safe.
Okay. I thought that was interesting, but again, it's like so much stuff in this movie, robot zombies and time loops. It's almost like putting the horse before the cart. Maybe even how the DC movies tried to like put all this stuff into like one movie and then pay it off later with kind of individual movies. Like maybe try and make a solid movie first and then let's get to the sequel. But I thought that was at least kind of a cool thing that they've moved Vegas and now there's this possibility of him going into
Mexico City.
Is it going to be on Day of the Dead? Because of course it is, right?
Oh, interesting.
I just
I didn't think about that.
Because visually, that could be cool.
His that part does raise so many questions about nuclear fallout and how did he really survive and
how did he get out of the vault?
Right, and how long does it take somebody to turn once they've been bitten? Because other people seem to do it in minutes, and he had long enough to survive, get out, rent a plane, fly halfway to Mexico before he even started to even notice that he was bitten.
Yeah,
but it was clever.
Does a zombie screech sound different in a Spanish with a Spanish accent?
I believe so.
That's what I want to know in the sequel.
I did like that noise they were making. Oh, I read another funny thing that somebody calculated based on the money that they were stealing that was going to be $200 million in $100 bills. And they said that each $100 bill weighs a gram. So if you add that up, that it would be about 4,400 pounds in money. And the question was, how are they going to get that out with like eight people and all that money in a couple of duffel bags on one helicopter? It just didn't seem to make sense to add up on how they were going to be able to haul that all out of there. But
if it was all in like quarters?
Yeah, it was just rolls of pennies.
Wouldn't it have been great to have one scene in a Vegas all-you-can-eat buffet with a bunch of zombies?
Oh God!
Yes. See, this is the kind of stuff. I don't know why they don't call me. I'm here, and I.
Well, that's part of the reason that I was excited to have Jason on is because you're like my Vegas guru. And maybe it's not a good idea to have you on this one because you're making me realize all of the missed potential.
Yeah.
There really was missed potential.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done something even just to license one of the casinos or something. I mean, you think about Con Air when they smash into the Hard Rock. And I know we've talked about it, but again, at least that is a recognizable landmark and something that people knew as opposed to whatever.
And I'll give an example.
Odyssey Hotel or whatever it was
from what the hell's the other Zombieland, a portion of it takes place in Washington, D.C.,
right,
and they have some great scenes with Woody Harrelson and the rest of them like jerking around in the White House, and it's you know, that's the kind of stuff I thought I was gonna see, you know, with the Vegas part. Let me put it this movie could have been the exact same movie in pretty much any other city in the United States or in the world.
The only thing about it was that it was a vault of money in Vegas, but you could have said it was in Chicago and there happened to be a bank that had that money in it. So
there was really the Vegas stuff didn't pay off for me.
Okay. if there was a casino you guys would have wanted to see some action in, what would it have been? The Excalibur, right? Kidding.
I think that's already been hit. Zombie apocalypse.
I mean, they could have done some cool stuff with the Luxor sliding down the Luxor. You know?
Yeah. I did like that image of the Luxor and the off in the distance.
Yeah, I did too. And they showed the Luxor, so they could have had a scene where they were, and they were on the south end of the strip, so, you know, when they came in. And because everyone knows McCarran's at the south end of the strip.
Right. You could have done some crazy stuff with the stratosphere.
They could have gone to the beach wave pool at Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. I would probably say the Bellagio is maybe the most iconic.
Yeah, they could have done something on the outside of the Bellagio.
Yeah, with the fountain.
In that water, with the fountains area.
That could have rehydrated those zombies.
You know, you had the volcano at the Mirage.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, that would have been cool.
You have
the stratosphere. The stratosphere. Yeah, if you're going to go to the top of a hotel, go to the freaking stratosphere.
Right.
There was potential. There was a lot of potential. Done some stuff.
And they can't do it in the sequel because Vegas gone.
Yeah.
Or is it? Because
I think
it's a time loop.
Oh, shit. So much.
All right. Well, any closing thoughts, or is that going to do it?
I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I still like it. I'd totally watch it again.
Yeah,
I'd watch those opening credits a million times. It was just so great. But
I think it's worth watching for sure. Yeah. But you just can't overlook some of the mistakes. Some
nonsense.
Well, Rob, let's wrap it up. If anybody's looking for us online, where can they do it?
We are on Twitter at Two Geeks Movies. We're on Facebook, where you can like us, and you can find us in Spotify, Podomatic, and the Apple Podcasts
app. Very good. Well, Jason, thank you for joining us. And
what's Zack Snyder movie are you doing? Are we doing next week?
The one with the owls.
Guardians of Gahool. Is that
you
what
guys?
It is?
Me watch that.
You never ask me if there's anything I want to plug either. I do these things.
Wrong podcast.
You want to plug?
Yeah.
I'll do it next time. That's
right. Yeah. Okay. And I'm afraid you just start naming names.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next week on Two Geeks at the Movies.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.